Are we ready? You think we're ready?
We're ready.
If you, I don't know if you got your, if you don't have your Bibles, you want to open your phone to Ezekiel 22. I am, my name's Chris Gardner. I do pastor and Restore and Hope Church of God over in Spring City. And I'm just me, so what you see is what you get. And when they asked me to do this and standing in the gap for your church, if there's something that the Lord's been really dealing with me the last couple of years to. You know, I came up in the, and I know Pastor has, we came up through a lot of religion, came up through a lot of legalism, some of us. I didn't catch the whole legalism era, just the tail end of it. But if there's anything I've watched through the years, it is the church needs men.
Yes.
The church needs men. The women carried it for years and years and years. And I've watched, let me read you a scripture and then it's Ezekiel 22 and 30. It's a scripture. I felt like I had 45 different ones going through my mind, but Ezekiel 22 and 30 said, I sought for a man among them who would make a wall. Now notice it didn't say a woman, it said a man. And stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I shouldn't destroy it. And God said, I didn't find one. And I want to talk just a little while, and I want this to be open forum. If you want to say something, Ezekiel 22:30. But if you want to say something, throw it out there. It doesn't bother me one bit. You're not going to interrupt me. But I just want to, in the last couple of years, when I, like I said, I took, well, it was Spring City Church of God from its founding, but when I took it, it was very broken. And the former pastor had pretty well split the church twice, destroyed it. And I'm not putting him down. I'm just trying to give you an idea of where the church was. When I got there, there was me and one other man in the church with all the women that were left hanging on. You know, and thank God for women. Hey, where would we be if it hadn't have been for some women?
Amen.
But I do believe God wants some men. And I watched that church in about 2 years' time. Well, really, in the last 4 years, we've gone from me and one other man till now there's more men in the church than there's women in the church. Now, that's a big deal to me because I came up in the church.
Yeah.
And there was always more women. I mean, I watched men drive their wives to church, drop them off, and head on down the road to go fishing while church was going on and come back and pick them up. So I want to say this. God needs us, gentlemen. And I want to go another step further and talk about what the, and I had to teach this to the men coming into my body. We're men. We're supposed to be the covering. We're supposed to be the protector. We're supposed to be the strong man. But I'm going to tell you one thing God needs in the house of God is men that are not willing to step out of their comfort zone and go on in the spirit realm and do some things. That, and I think for a long time, men have felt like if I let my guard down in the church, or if I, and I'm just going to go ahead, if I cry, if I lay down on my face, if I speak in tongues, if I allow the Spirit of God to do what He wants to do in me, that somehow makes me less of a man. But I want to tell you, it makes you more of a man.
Amen.
Your wife, your wife, it better not be your husband. Not in here with me anyway. But your wife needs you to be a man of God. That doesn't mean you have to preach. That doesn't mean you have to teach a class. But your kids need you. I was thinking last night, I wasn't able to be here because I was in a revival service and the man was preaching about a standard, and he was preaching about how his father heard his dad pray from the basement. Over the vent, he would lean over the vent cover in the upstairs bedroom and listen to his dad pray in the basement. That's who your family and your church need you to be.
Yeah.
So here we're in here talking about standing in the gap for the church. What can I do for my church? The greatest thing you can do for your church is be the man of God and not be weary about being in that position. Your pastor needs you to be the man of God that God's called you to be. There's people out here, and I know this church is one that deals a lot with the broken and the addicted, and we get that too. But they need somebody to stand in the gap. If they come on, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm just going to be me, and I'm trying my best to behave myself. But when people come into the house of God, they don't need another trick. They don't need another gimmick. They don't need another, they really don't need another sermonette. They need a word from God. And it may not be the pastor.
That's right.
It may be you that stands at the back door and gives the first hug, and somewhere in between the back door and their pew, the Lord tells you what's going on and tells you how to speak into their life. I started to say this earlier. There's people in the house that you're preaching your sermon.
That's right.
If you never get in the pulpit in there,
that's right.
Your lifestyle is preaching your sermon. Everybody around you is watching and listening to the sermon that I'm preaching. And it's not about my clothes. It's not about my hair. It's not about this, that, or the other. But it's about how I present myself before men.
Yeah, right.
The Bible said, let all men may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And I don't know why the Lord's laid this burden down on me, but there's something in my spirit that says, men, it's time we get in the spirit. It's time we stop standing back and letting it be this one and letting it be that one. But it's time we step into that spirit position. We step into that place. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want out of me? How do you want me to do this? I'm not a pastor, Brother Chris. Well, you don't have to be. I thought last night, the greatest thing you can ever do is show your family the way to God. If you show your family the way to God, when you come to the church, you'll show other people the way to God. And you're standing in the gap for the church. One way that you can stand in the gap for your church is become an intercessor. That's what an intercessor is. It means you're standing in between this and this and pleading with God what He needs to do for the situation. I've got a 19-year-old daughter right now, moved out 2 years ago. I haven't talked to her in a year. She won't talk to me. I've not wore her out or anything. I've not thumped her on the head with the Bible. I don't like what she's doing. She's living with her boyfriend. She's not happy, and God's breaking all that down now. The one thing I want to do is I want to pour love into that child.
Yes.
And I was thinking about my youngest daughter when I was talking earlier about the man hearing his dad pray. My youngest daughter, I remember praying, going in my bedroom and getting off by myself, and I didn't even know my youngest daughter had come in. And I had just, you know, I wasn't trying to be spiritual, and I'm not trying to talk all spiritual this morning other than I didn't even know she'd come in there, and I'm just sitting on the side of the bed just talking to God about stuff and weeping before the Lord. And next thing I know, I feel a wash rag on my face because my daughter's been standing there for however long listening to me pray. I had my eyes closed. I didn't know she's there. She's watching me weep before the Lord. But and the thing she knows, you know what the first thing she thought to do? Serve her dad.
Wow.
Sir, and because there's something about the hallelujah, something about the anointing that will make you want to serve,
yeah,
and make you want to be obedient. See, it's not just his job, and I don't know if everybody in here goes to this church or not, but it's not just his job to be the only carrier of the anointing in that sanctuary.
Amen.
It is our job, gentlemen, to carry the anointing. And quite frankly, I'm tired of the women getting to do it all.
Yeah.
I'm thankful. I'll just go ahead and be transparent. And you'll laugh at this, but when I first, I was a Baptist. And I didn't know that there'd be a Holy Ghost. And everything. And if we even talked the word Holy Ghost, that was of the devil. You know, because all you could do is get saved. And everything else had ceased. You know, it's amazing to me that the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. There was 120 in the upper room. And yet, there's denominations that will teach only 12 of them got to experience it. And that's not what the Bible says. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But anyway, so I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. So when I started experiencing and finally got baptized in the Holy Ghost as a teenager, I was saved when I was 8. And then when I was a teenager, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody drugged me to this Church of God, I tell you. And something happened while I was there. But then later on, as I got grown, and I started, the first thing you need to do, gentlemen, is start asking God, what do you want out of me? Well, here I am, Lord. What can I do for you? See, I didn't start doing for the Lord when they gave me a microphone and said, we want you to preach. I started doing for the Lord as that teenage kid asking my pastor, what can I do? You know, I thankfully I didn't have to clean toilets, but I would have. I think I vacuumed. But I was ready to serve the house because there was something on the inside of me that made me want to serve the house. And I was trying to think. Here's another scripture for you that I want to give you before I get out of here if I get sidetracked. The one reason, one major thing that for the last couple of years the Lord's been giving me is Judges chapter 2 verse 10. And it says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord or His mighty works. And we're living in a day that we're the most educated I think we've ever been, especially in the church world. And I'm just going to tell you, we figured out how to do it. We've got the best music. We've come up with the best sermons. But there's many, many places. I still evangelize even though I pastor. And there's many, many places that they wouldn't know a move of God if it slapped them in the face. And if anything, gentlemen, be a conduit for the move of God in your house where God's put you. That's how you stand in the gap for your church. Because when you get to that place of a couple of weeks ago, I think it was even last week, the Lord said to me in my spirit, He said, I don't want a mechanical relationship with you. He said, I want an organic relationship with you. Because you can do the machine. We did that for years. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that He's been raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. And that's the Word of God, and that's true, but it can become mechanical. We go to church mechanically. We go to Sunday school mechanically. We worship mechanically. You know, everybody stand. Everybody sit. Everybody raise one hand. Everybody raise your left hand. Everybody just give God a praise. But see, I remember the days when we didn't have to tell people what to do. I remember a Sunday in that sanctuary right in there. The first time I ever came to church scared me half to death. When I came to this church one Sunday morning and church hadn't even started, snowing outside. You probably don't maybe remember that, but that day Julie was having a heart attack. You probably don't remember that. I'd never seen nothing like that before in my life. We walked in this building, and it's a long time ago before they ever redone the building, and I'd never been to this church and hadn't barely been in too many Church of God's. And we came in that back door and was walking up the middle aisle, and church hadn't even started. An absolute pandemonium broke out in there. For 2 hours, God laid people in the floor. I saw God, Tracy. I saw God take Tracy. Big old 6'4", I think he is, or 300 and something pounds back then. And the Holy Spirit picked him up and shoved him down the middle aisle, slid him down the middle aisle. When's the last time you saw that? There was nobody touched him. Why? Because the place was primed and ready. We need to be primed and ready. We cannot ever get to the place that we lose the anointing, gentlemen. And you can't just leave it up to your wives. I'm telling you, you've got to dig the trench and find God in an organic way. And that's how you'll stand in the gap for your church. Your pastor desperately needs you in a place of intercession. He can't man the place all the time. He can't. We've got to have it. Why? Because I just read it to you. There's a generation coming up. Look at everything going on in the world right now with politics and everything else. What are they trying to do? What did they try to do with COVID? Shut the mouth of the church. Shut the mouth of the people of God. If you keep your mouth shut, they're happy, but it's when you open up your mouth. See, that's the enemy. The enemy wants to silence you and make you think that spiritual things are not manly. He wants to silence you and make you think, well, it's not relevant. He wants to silence you and make you think that it's not necessary for the day we live in. We've moved past all that. I saw your picture out in the lobby. I was praying. Didn't even know you had a picture. Of the new church building.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you had it. I'm coming up 68 because I remember when your dad was having some of this graded somewhere up there, already had it in his vision. I was just 20 or 21 when I remember hearing him talk about that. And I was praying about it coming up the highway. Didn't even know you had a new building. Walked in the door. I didn't see it when I came in. I went to the bathroom and come back out, and I thought, yeah, Lord, do it. Because if you'll get in the presence of God and stay there, and you'll stand in your position. There's another scripture, and I've not got it on my notes, and I can't remember it all, but it talks about not breaking rank. God's put you in a place on purpose.
Right.
You are a man of purpose.
Yeah.
You're not here. You know, I used to fight to get here and get there, and as men, we know we want to be successful. We want to succeed. And if we be honest with one another, the man inside of us, not the spiritual man, but the fleshly man, every now and then we get a little conceited and we'd like to step over a few people and get where we want to go. And that's just natural. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't let it control us.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we can't break rank in the spirit, but we must be who God's called us to be.
Yeah.
When you're a man of the Spirit, you're going to be able, God's going to give you discernment of what's going on around you. If there's, and I said that earlier, and I think I was raised around a lot of women. We didn't have a lot. My dad was a drug addict, alcoholic. I didn't have anything to do with him hardly off and on, but I didn't want to be around that. And so I was raised around a lot of women. My stepdad was not, he was not the greatest example. He was always a provider, but very hard. And there's something about when there are men in our churches that lack the same thing, that need us to be in position. And here again, if we'll stay in that place with the Lord, He's going to show us those men that they need you and me. And I don't even like to talk about it. It's I'm the pastor and but they need us on a level that's not up here.
Yeah.
They need us on a one-on-one level because that's how we're going to stand in the gap, is when we've got enough discernment to know my brother's struggling. My brother needs an encouraging word. I was raised in religion.
Yeah.
Anybody know about that? You've been around religion. See, there's a lot of people got the gift of suspicion instead of the gift of discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a real gift of discernment that can expose the enemy. But things are not always as they appear.
Yeah.
And I grew up in those religious circles, though, that everybody, I know what you did last summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get out of here. Now, on the flip side of that, gentlemen, we're becoming, you know, when I was growing up, I thought, well, that's just for the old people, you know. That spirit stuff, that's for the old people. But we're becoming the old people.
Yes.
And if we don't pick up the mantle, that generation behind us is not going to know. Yes, they had religion. Yes, they were legalistic. But yes, they had an anointing. And yes, they saw miracles. I'm not suggesting we go back to legalism by any means, but we got to possess something. And to me, what it looks like is, to me, a great, strong group of men is when you see men all over the church operating as men of God. Not just when you've got a microphone in your hand or on your head in front of everybody.
Yeah. So doing the in-betweens.
That's right.
Yeah. I heard Chris Goins, we'll hear him today. He preached last year at the church sometime. And he said that he gets up and he prays every morning to be the best member of his church he can be. You know? And that's really stuck with me. And now, do I do it every day? Yeah, no, I don't. But I do. I try, and I don't want to bring I statements into this. But that him preaching that really opened my eyes, because it's like, hey, am I really being the best member I can be? Am I doing, you know, am I praying for Bob?
Yeah.
You know, individually, not just praying as my church is old. Am I praying for Bob from the worship side? Am I praying for PK? You know what I'm saying? And all that. And
I preached a revival in a Methodist church that my family built, and United Methodist Church. And people left that revival filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, God showed up in that Methodist church. God don't care what your label is.
That's right.
God just wants you. That's it in a nutshell right there, gentlemen.
Yep.
God wants you. And He'll show you every day. You talk about praying, am I the best church member? God, today, what do you need out of me today? Before I was ever a pastor, before I was ever a worship leader, I would be on my way to church and saying, God, if you can use me today, use me. I may not be up front and I may not be behind the microphone, but if you need me to love on somebody today, I've watched loving on the young men of our church. I've watched encouraging them, build them until I've got young men that drive an hour and a half to come to our church one way. They drive from McMinnville to come to church. Their families are coming with them. It's called revival.
Yeah.
Because, gentlemen, we need each other. I don't care what it looks like. We need each other.
Amen.
Can I go ahead and just throw a bomb out there? It'd be all right. You won't kill me. I believe the reason that the spirit of homosexuality is so rampant among men is because there's a lot of men missed opportunities to sow into some people's lives. And so the women did. And it opened up a door to effeminism. Mm-hmm. I know that's preaching good. You don't have to say nothing. Because when we're not present, somebody else is going to be.
That's right.
That's why my son doesn't need me just to be the preacher. He needs me to show up on the riverbank with him.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I did with my son as he's gotten older, and I did this with my oldest daughter. And my son, he's a boy, he's 15, and you guys can get a mental picture of what that looks like. I could tell you some funny stories already. And I told him, I said, look, what you're going through is normal. I said, I never had nobody to tell me that. Mm-hmm. It was all hush, hush.
Yeah.
And gentlemen, and I told my son, I said, look, I don't care what it is. I don't care how gross it is, and I'm just going to tell you, and this has been recorded, dear God. Mm-hmm. I don't care how erotic it is. I don't care what you're looking at. You've probably already looked at it. I mean, it's at our fingertips. I said, if you can't talk to me face to face, let's go sit in a dark room somewhere and just talk to me, because I'd rather you talk to me as talk to somebody else.
Yeah, amen.
Because you can talk to me in safety.
Yeah.
It's a safe place. I want to be their dad. And I told him, I said, I'm your dad first, but I'm your friend second. I'm always going to be your dad first, but I want to be your friend as well. Don't mix the two up. I said, but I'm here for you, because I'd rather it be me than be some Joe Blow down the street speaking into his life.
Right.
And I'm watching God cultivate that. Well, there's men in the church that need somebody. That, you know, I came in here this morning and I topped the hill over there and I thought, because when I go into a new place, I'm normal. I don't know anybody. I don't know if anybody's going to be there that I know. How comfortable am I going to feel? And I thought, but you know what? I'm just going to go in. I'm me. But there's other people coming in. There may be somebody in here today. Don't know nobody. Mm-hmm. You know. But looking for that word or that handshake or that bro around the neck saying, hey, you belong.
Yeah.
You belong. Because believe you me, there's men that come to church that if they feel like an outsider, bang.
Yeah, amen. I heard Chris Valentin say this, and I wish I'd heard this advice before my kids were grown. But he said, you know, when your kid comes to you, if they've messed up or they've done something, they come to you, how you respond to that is going to decide whether they come back to you for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If you berate them, if you get angry with them, he said, they will never come back and talk to you about it. They will then begin to hide those things from you because you're not a safe place. And I think that goes for men in the church also.
Mm-hmm.
If a man comes to you and shares something they're going through, shares a secret sin with you, and you begin to look at them different, you begin to distance you, they will never feel the safety to share
And here's what the Bible said. When you share that, you'll be healed.
Yeah.
You'll be healed. Confess your sins, and you'll be healed. And I think, I just wonder how many men are walking away unhealed because we don't feel like there's a place we can share.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a bottom line example. And you can treat me different if you want to. I don't care.
I probably will.
Yeah, it's okay. I made up my mind a couple of years ago because I've got some family that are in homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And we almost view that as the most unpardonable sin. And I'm not suggesting, I don't think sin has level, guys. Yeah. You can think that, but I just don't.
Amen.
I think homosexuality isn't any different than lying.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's sin. It isn't any different than when you flip somebody off the other day because they, you know, was berating you on the road. Mm-hmm. And a lady in my church that's been like a mom to me for about 13 years, her grandson was raised in the Pentecostal church, raised around the things of God, knew the move of the Spirit, but he turned gay. I didn't know his story. He hates preachers, hates them. And I made up in my mind a couple of years ago, now I'm not going to put myself in too dangerous of a situation, but I'm going to tell you what I do believe. I do believe if Jesus was here, he'd be a few places that the church might
absolutely
think he ought not go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm not going in their bedroom or anything like that, but I was on the phone with his grandmother one day because she prays for me every single day and has for years. And he just recently, and she's a lady preacher, and she's 82, and he's been with this same guy for about 17 years. And I'll shut up because I know our time's gone. But long story short, all of a sudden, one day, she has to talk to me on speakerphone, so he's heard many things that we've discussed. And so one day, he starts vomiting his story in the background. His grandmother didn't even know his story. And he talks about how his dad's brother molested him when he was a child. And how that he knew he liked girls before that happened. And that's the first time I'd ever talked to somebody on that personal of a level. And he said, but after that happened, all of that changed. He said, I know I liked girls. And he's never even told his grandmother this, and he's telling a man he doesn't even know on the phone. So we get off the phone, and she calls him back a couple of hours later, and she said, you're not going to believe this. She said he was walking out the door on the way to go to work, and he said, well, God made a liar out of me today. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know I hate preachers. Because somewhere in that conversation, I didn't mention that I told him, I said, give God another shot. I didn't tell him every scripture that said homosexuality was wrong.
Amen.
I didn't tell him he needed to get in church.
Yeah.
I just said, give God another shot.
Yeah,
because the way he was talking, I could tell there was a gifting down inside of there that the enemy tried to snuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I guess God made a liar out of me today. And she said, why? He said, well, you know I hate preachers. She said, yeah. He said, but I don't hate that one.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's the first one in this all these years that's ever made me feel like God really loved me. And I've made up my mind that by hook or by crook, as the old saying is, if I can reach somebody, I'm going to reach them. I may get ostracized, fine. You know, they may start calling me whatever. Fine. Me and God knows. My wife knows.
Amen.
My wife knows everything I do, but she also knows what God's doing.
Yeah.
And so I made up my mind. It's harvest time, gentlemen.
Yeah.
If you want your family to come in, you best get in position. And you can't stand, and of course I guess that's my last word, you can't stand and watch everybody else get blessed if you're not going to go after it.
Yeah.
You can't win the war if you don't pick up your sword.
Right.
So pick up your sword.
Amen.
Stand in the gap. Are we done?
Well, here's the thing. Whether you pick up a sword or not, you're in a fight.
That's it.
Yeah.
So you're either going to go in there with some way to defend and fight off, or you're going in naked.
That's it.
Because you're in the fight.
Yeah, I had to. I just passed one that closed a store down going through separation / divorce, and someone said, you could have went through drugs and alcohol to battle, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I went straight to the prison. So I've actually been, I like to others, you know, and through this, and I want to keep going on this. And just God just spoke to me right here, said, who you represent? You're representing that church or whatever, so you got to show it, outside of church, not just in church.
Well, that's another thing you have to think about, too, when it comes to standing in the gap for your church. Part of the way you represent yourself, I mean, I've had many people that have come to me and said, do you know so-and-so?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't they go to such-and-such church? Yeah. Well, I saw them at the convenience store, and they cussed out the cashier. Now, I'm not saying, gentlemen, we can't have a bad moment, but and you can call me religious or whatever you want to call me, but there does come a time. We're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know, Lord. He doesn't care. When the books are open, we're going to be judged by His book. And so we can't just forever go on saying, oh, that's religious. Oh, that's religious. No, there is something called sanctification that has to take place in our life. And that means, gentlemen, that we begin to allow God to make us less like the world. Because that's how you'll never get in deep in the presence of God until you let Him work on the flesh. And we can have, like I said, we can call it whatever we want to call it. But He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Because if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't write that. He said, come out from among the world and be separate. And then it goes on to say, and don't touch the unclean thing, then I will receive you. So there's your first homework. Go this next week, ask God, anything in my life I need to get rid of? And don't be alarmed when He says get rid of something you might think a whole lot of. That's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I just been asking God this week, Lord, whatever is hindering me from moving to the next level, even if it hurts my flesh, I want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I have, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.